Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood. Joe, guess what? I have both of your Christmas gifts already under the Christmas tree.
I'm getting two of them?
Wrapped.
For me personally?
For you personally. I don't think I've ever been this, like, they were wrapped before Thanksgiving
under the Christmas tree. I don't think in our entire marriage.
I've never even had the Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. So our schedule is a little crazy this month. And so I knew that I had to get some stuff organized, and I got all the shopping done for you. And
well, thank you.
Yeah,
I do not have your gifts yet wrapped under the tree.
Wrapped?
They're not wrapped yet.
Not wrapped.
They're not even purchased yet.
No, I didn't say that.
Listen, I know better than to ask you if they're purchased yet, because they're not.
Oh, you got to give me a little credit. No, you don't have to.
I was going to say, where do you want? Should we go back to my birthday and get the credit there?
No, we don't need to go back.
There's no credit there either.
Listen, the Bible says keep no records of wrong. That's what the Bible says.
So you're saying you were wrong?
I'm saying
is that the record?
I'm saying that I don't live my life looking through the rearview mirror. And the Bible cares more about the Bible's all about how God cares more about where you're going.
Where are you going, Joe Williams?
I don't know.
Where are you going?
Well, I can tell you that this Christmas is going to be better than your birthday.
You're right, because I've already started getting myself some stuff.
Well, I liked it in the past when you just bought your own Christmas and birthday gifts tonight, and then
I only did that because you wouldn't buy me anything.
No, come on. Okay, folks, full confession. I am not the greatest gift purchaser.
And guess what my love language is, everyone?
It's been pretty
God
much.
God has a really good sense of humor.
It's been pretty much downhill since early in our marriage. We'd been married a few years, and at some point in that year,
Which year?
I don't remember, but we had had a discussion about buying a steam vac cleaner.
That was not Christmas.
For our house. I know. I'm going to tell on myself.
Okay.
I probably told this story.
I'm going to move my microphone.
Yeah. I think it was Valentine's Day.
It was.
Kirsten has now moved the microphone away from her mouth. And I thought, what does she really want? You know, she did say that she really wanted a wet vac steam cleaner. And I went out and bought a really nice wet vac steam cleaner for the house. And I get
for the house. I'm sorry, for the house or for me?
For you. You really
no,
wanted
you said
it.
For the, okay.
And I wrapped this thing up. It was huge. And so on Valentine's Day, I'm like, I got you something. And she tore into it. Now, I know my mistake. This A is not a Valentine's Day gift, and B, it's not a birthday gift or Christmas gift. It's just a thing you buy for your house, and to pass it off as a Valentine's Day gift. So you can imagine.
Which was very Williams-esque of you.
I don't know about that, but I spent a lot of money on this thing, and I was really happy to give it to you, and I thought it was going to be like.
Nothing says romance like a wet vac. Nothing says, come here, baby. Like, hey, could you clean that upholstery?
I was more in the mode of, this is what you really wanted. You wanted one of these things. And so I got you what I thought I was getting you what
like
you
like, I need toilet paper. I wanted it like I need a dish pan to cook. And I wanted it like I want paper towels.
Listen, I know that now.
Because I use them.
But way back then, early in our marriage.
True.
Early in our marriage, I thought, what does she want? Yep. In my brain, when I get a gift, I'm like, what do you want?
You know, we played a family game at Thanksgiving with my whole family. We spent some time in Denver with my family. And on our Christmas, which we call Thanksmas, we do Thanksgiving, then we do Christmas. We did a Christmas game of Family Feud. And we feuded. Like, our whole family was like, no, that was our turn.
It was chaotic.
It was funny. Anyway, one of the top five answers on the board of worst Christmas gifts to give. On the top five, I don't remember which number it was like a vacuum. Then we laughed because
everybody looks at me.
But we also kind of chuckled because we had just given my parents a vacuum that they'd been wanting. I mean, it's there's a long history story there. But yeah, so a wet vac for your wife on Valentine's Day.
Listen, I get it. I get it.
You redeemed yourself a few years later and gave me a necklace on a Valentine's Day. That was... Do you remember that? You're like, if you could see him, he's kind of looking
no,
back.
No, I
like,
remember that. It was that.
Okay.
It was some kind of blue stone.
Yeah. I still have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really nice. But no, your gifts are not... I should say your abilities and your strong suit is not gift giving.
And I know there's plenty of men that can relate to that, but I know it's a growth area for me. And I
God's not done with you yet.
I immediately go to practical stuff like, what she want? Because there's only so many candles and perfume and that you can get your wife, right? You want something that you really want. And
I think the struggle is when you have been together for 26 years and then you struggle to think of what I might want. I'm like, how do you not know me? Like, how do you not know what I like to do and things that I'm like, oh, and that like, this is overused now, but spark joy and like, oh, I love this and this will be so fun. And so
I think it's just in the way we're wired.
I know, but he was on his way to getting me a luggage for my birthday. And I was like, whoa.
Okay, hold on. I need to defend this one.
I know. And I'm going to defend it for you. I do need a new suitcase, but it's kind of like, to me, it's like, I don't want a suitcase for my birthday.
So let me.
I need a new suitcase so we can travel.
Not. What if there was a plane ticket inside? Okay,
well,
suitcase?
See, I know him well enough that there wouldn't be. Like, if there were cruise tickets in the luggage, it would be amazing.
So this is where some of the birthday fell apart. Okay, we're not going with all the details, but how we started today. This is where I got tripped up and things fell apart. Yeah. I was going to get you a suitcase for, it sounds dumb saying it. I was going to get you a suitcase for your birthday, but okay. So, but this isn't just any suitcase. This is like a really nice suitcase. It's got phone chargers and cup holders all coming out of it. I mean, it's one of these that they've been advertising online. I thought, oh, Kirsten needs a suitcase. And when we travel, it's always like, oh, where's a charger? And I'm like, it can all be, you charge up the suitcase and you plug your phone into the suitcase. I thought, this would be awesome. And so Kirsten was like, what are you getting me for your birthday? And I was
no,
like,
no, I did not say, what are you getting me for my birthday? I typically have to give him a countdown 2 weeks before my birthday. I'm like, you know, my birthday's in 2 weeks.
Well,
then about a week before, you know, my birthday's in a week. What are we going to do?
And I said,
3 days before my birthday, I said, hey, my birthday's like on whatever day it was. And he said, yeah, I needed to talk to you about your gift. This is what I'm thinking. And when he says that, I already know I need to be prepared because he's not convinced he should buy it. So he needs to run it by me, which makes me go, yeah, you probably, I don't need a suitcase for my birthday. I don't feel like gifts for birthdays and Christmas should be necessarily need filled. They should be more like wants.
See, I thought like, the suitcase would be a want.
A vacation. I want a house in Hawaii. I want a candle.
You want a rich husband. you didn't get one. Sorry. That wasn't part of the deal.
No, I know. So I kind of squashed the birthday gift a few days ahead of time. And then
it was struggle bus after that. I thought I was on the track of something pretty awesome. And then that kind of got...
So you still got 21 days before Christmas here. 20 days, something like that.
I'm on it.
So you're good to go. You're on it. If you're listening and you could support Joe Williams in
just
any
pray
way
for
you
me.
Can.
I can't have another failure. I gotta have a win. I gotta win.
I have to say, we probably shared this story before, but one of our very first Christmases we were together.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
We woke up on Christmas morning and I said, hey, here's your gift. And, oh, thank you. He goes, well, I didn't get a chance to go buy you a gift because I've been sick. I'm like, you got sick last night. Well, that's what I mean.
I was going to go out on Christmas Eve and get it.
A chance. I was like, oh my word. So I've kind of known from the get-go. He kind of threw me off a little bit because when we spent my birthday together when we were dating, he wrapped a CD for me. And I thought, wow. And it was a really good CD. It was a Jars of Clay CD.
That's going way back.
Way back in the 1900s, as some of you will say. And I was like, oh, that was so thoughtful of you. And you like wrapped it. So you had to get like wrapping paper. I know your bachelor pad didn't have wrapping paper and tape and scissors. So it was like, I like recognize this, but it ended there.
Yeah. You guys pray for me. There's a lot of things I'm on top of and that not so much. So I got to work on it. I know it's a growth area
it's
for
okay.
me.
Okay. I still love you.
I appreciate that. But speaking of love, and we just discovered this today. Abby, this is brand new information. And I couched it in love because I don't think
love?
It's love. Maybe it's just nature. We have two brand new kittens behind our house.
That is not where I thought this conversation
she's like, that is not love.
Well,
love is not the word that you use.
We
with
have
cats.
The mama cat. Yes, that's why I think it's love. The mama cat
yeah,
loves.
Are you in love with the kitty?
No, the mama cat loves her some daddy cats.
Oh,
and
my word.
So
that's where you're going with this.
That was my transition. Speaking of love.
Okay.
No, this morning.
We do. We have two.
It's out
kittens.
Of control.
You guys, if they're still young enough that if you want to come get yourself a little kitten before Christmas, you could capture it. And they are cute. If you're a cat person, they have a
little. Well, let me back up just a little bit. So we have the original three. We have Nippy.
Well,
we have Spot.
The original.
And we have Evander. Evander disappeared a couple months ago. We have no idea what happened to Evander. I hope he found a good home. So we were down to Nippy and Spot. And then we told you guys that the cat, the mama cat, the original, where this all started, she had another litter. And we also found out, just to catch you up, that our neighbors have also been feeding the cat. So these cats have been bouncing between us and the neighbors. So we collaborated.
You'd think they're really fat cats. They're not. They're obviously well fed, but they're not like, they're skinny cats.
They're all cute. And so mama had another litter of three. So the humane or the animal shelter came out. The cats behind my house have all been fixed. And these three new ones have all been fixed. So
except
they,
only two returned from the animal
that's
shelter.
That's right. One of the,
went back.
Yeah. What we found out is that of the three new kittens, okay, so after Nippy and Spot, the next litter, there were three, the animal shelter came and got them. They trapped them and they neutered them?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what they
neuter
do for boys?
Or spade.
Is it neuter for boys or spade for boys?
Yes, neuter.
Neuter for boys. So all three of them got neutered. They're all boys. And again, it's a litter full of boys. And so
lots of boys.
Lots of boys. So they fixed those cats. And then the guy from the animal shelter told us, he came back out, we're trying to trap mama again. And so they've been trying to get this mama cat. So he told us when he came back out again, he goes, hey, you know that third little kitten? So they brought him back and they take him and they spayed or neuter him. And then they bring them back to the neighborhood. They collect him and they release them because they're no longer going to be able to reproduce. And he came back out to tell us, hey, by the way, that third kitten, he jumped up in the wheel well of the animal shelter vehicle and rode all the way back to the animal shelter. And so they just kept him there, and he's lives so at the animal
two
shelter.
Two from the original litter, two from the middle litter.
That's right. So Evander's gone. So we have Nippy and Spot. That's all that's left from the original litter.
And now we've got Molecule and White Sox.
And now we have Molecule and White Sox, who are from the second litter.
And now.
And this morning.
First spotting.
We were getting dressed and just doing all the normal stuff. And I walk past our back deck, and I just look outside. White Sox had hopped up and was looking in the window, and I thought,
"This is very unusual.
This is odd because the two cats that the from the second litter, they don't come around that much, but White Sox, which is he's an odd looking cat. He's
so cute.
He is all black, and he's got a big white patch on his chest, and his feet are white, and he's got white whiskers."
Very
so just whiskers. Imagine these long, and they're long, these long whiskers coming off his face, and they're pure white on his dark face, and they just stand out, and it's just an odd look. And so he's standing by my back door, and I'm going, well, hey, not used to you being up here. And I put the food out in the morning like I always do, and then I walk away, and I come back, and there's these two little
kitties
fur balls, and I'm like, that's new. And I'm like, this is just today. And so I took a few, I tried to get some pictures of him, and this little one turned and looked at me, and he's an all black cat. Yeah. He ran away pretty quick, but he looked at me, and he's got this white strip right down the middle of his forehead, coming right down his nose, all the way down to his nose. So he's an all black cat.
So cute.
And I think he has little white feet, and he's got
pictures?
This. I do.
Okay, good. We'll have to put them on
the
show notes.
They're not very good pictures, but
Joe took the pictures, so we'll do our best. What I'm saying is that we have these two new kitties, and I think they're still young enough that if someone wanted to capture them, they're young enough to domesticate.
Is here that you the go, word? Abby.
Domesticate?
I got the picture up right here.
Like so, they could be in your home at Christmas.
So the bigger cat was from the second litter. That's White Sox. And the little one that I just saw today, he's got that white strip down his nose.
Yeah.
Isn't it cute?
It is cute.
So we got,
but Abby's not a cat person.
No.
And then the other kitty looks just like White Sox. It's kind of got the same striping. And so I'm going, we may just send him back in for some more surgery. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Or it's mama. It's the mama cat. Because these cats have all been fixed. Anyway, we just thought, it seems like lately in our podcast, there's new information about these cats all the time. And
this is the third litter in a little over a year.
Listen, y'all, here's what I'm saying.
That's if a lot you, of kittens.
If you
That's
want,
a lot of being pregnant.
If you want a cat, if you want a little baby kitten, and if there's still
the time,
now's the time. We got two of them out there that we can trap.
And the reason why I know this, when he came to catch them to spay or neuter the other kittens, he said if they are young enough still, we can keep them and adopt them out. And that's why I was like, oh, they're still young enough then that they could be, you know, fixed and then brought into someone's home because they are so cute.
I was just shocked to see
and then
two.
It would be less mouths for us to have to feed.
I will admit
we are
though,
not bringing them into our home.
Oh no, never gonna happen. Everybody keeps teasing me, those are gonna be indoor cats one day. No, they're not.
And it's funny because they will stand right at the door and we'll open the door and we've held the door open to see if they'll come in and they won't. And so we're like, okay, good. They know their line and they don't cross it. And, but they know that cat food cup that we dump the food and sometimes they stick their head in the cup, itself when we're trying to pour it out.
Nippy will do that. I'm pouring it in the bowl and Nippy will stick his head right up into the cup that I'm trying to pour it out of. So the two oldest ones have gotten quite comfortable with us.
Yeah.
Like I walked out on the deck today and, Spot just looked at me, didn't even move. Just like, yeah. Hey, big fella.
But the little cutie.
I feel like they've got me trained.
Scary.
Anyway, there's the cat update. But you know what? This has just been a busy season.
Super busy.
I don't know about your lives right now, but it just feels like go, 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 go. And I don't know. I was joking with Abby right before we hit record. I'm like, Abby, when's life going to slow down? When is... I look at our schedule for the next 2 months, and I'm going, where is there even a free night out here? But I like it. I mean, I'd rather be, you know, I think I'd rather be super busy than like super bored. but I don't know. I don't know if I feel that way anymore. I like super bored sounds pretty good right now, but
sounds pretty nice.
Anyway, well, hey, I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving, and we sure did, and looking forward to this Christmas. Well, the His Word series is very fast, quickly approaching the end of the
conclusion.
Series. This is by far the longest sermon series I have ever preached.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Do they tell you in Bible college to preach 55-week sermon series?
No. I don't know.
Because I've heard of other churches doing like a 4-year series or something. And it's like, hey, we're going to do the book of Mark and we're going to take the next 4 years to do it.
No, what I remember from Bible college is, you know, they taught, they don't do anything more than 6 weeks because people's attention spans. I don't know if they still teach that. That's what I remember. I remember them teaching, you know, obviously expository preaching. I remember a lot of things from my classes, but I don't ever remember them saying, yeah, it would be really good for you to preach a year-long sermon series. No, I don't remember that. Now, they teach you how to build a sermon set for a whole year, like a preaching calendar. You know, they teach all that stuff.
Yeah, we'd love to see your preaching calendar.
Hey.
We're getting there.
And
he's
moving on.
Skip right over that one.
Yeah. No, but... I knew when we started the His Word series, which if you don't know, if you're a brand new listener, this is a sermon series all about the life and teachings of Jesus.
So did you start it in the fall of 24?
Well, you might remember we went through the disciple making series last fall.
Right.
And through that series, what I taught the church is that Jesus's words are the curriculum for disciple making, and his life is the model that we follow.
Okay.
And there was such a great response to that disciple making series, and that's when we started doing T groups and all of that. So coming out of that season of that disciple making teaching, I wanted to go right into a new series where that kind of played off of that. So if it's true, and I believe totally it's true, if it's true though, that Jesus's words is our curriculum, then we better know all about what Jesus taught, what he did. And if his life is the model that we follow in our own disciple journey, then we better know what Jesus was like. So I wanted to dive in to a series that focused a lot on what Jesus taught, his words, and a lot on what he did. And where I landed was this series called His Words, where I took the harmony of the gospel. So Jesus' story is told over four gospels. There's four accounts of the life of Jesus. Four, and I make this point really clearly, four complementary accounts. Of Jesus' life story. And when you put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you put them all together, you harmonize them, and you can see a little bit of a chronology, although not perfect, because I don't think it's possible to nail down a day-by-day, play-by-play, because not all the Gospels are written. They're chronologically moving in the same direction, but they're not all in order. Mm-hmm. You know, like John's gospel especially is very thematic in nature. And so he's building themes, and you see these seven kind of themes and these seven I am said. So anyway, then I don't mean to go in all that. But so I'm harmonizing the gospels, and I'm telling the story of Jesus.
So you started it last fall.
Yeah.
You did the discipleship thing, and then you're like, I'm going to do the His Words. So you started that.
And I knew it would be, I knew that we were going to be in it for about a year. And that was my hesitation initially, going, wow, you can't just preach an in-depth Life of Christ series in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, or even, you know, looking back on, this is something I never planned to do, is to preach these long series. But I can go back and I can tell you, when we did the story series back in 2017, that was 31 weeks, which I still contend for our church family was the most influential sermon series I've ever preached, the story. I really do. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've had people ask me, it's like, well, let's do the story again. Mm. You know, let's rewrite those sermons and do it again. I mean, I've thought about it. I don't think I will, but we did that in 2017. So that is now 8 years ago. So I do think it would feel fresh and engaging. But so many people, like, we give these story Bibles out to whoever wants one. It's still part of what we do. But that 31-week series taught me you can hold people's attention. You can keep their interest if the content is good and the subject matter is relevant to their lives. It doesn't matter if it's 3 weeks, 6 weeks, or 31 weeks, that if it's feeding the disciple-making journey.
Yeah.
So then a few years later, we did Origins, mm-hmm. and that turned out to be a long series. I don't remember how long that was.
Yeah.
And then we did the Exodus series.
Yeah.
Rescued. That was another long one. And then we did Courageous, which was Joshua and Judges. That was a long one. It took 3 years. Loved it. 3 years to kind of walk through that journey from Genesis and Exodus, kind of all the way through that first five books of the Bible or so. And our people, from my perspective, really, really dug into that and was like, this is helping us. Mm-hmm. So when I came to his words, I'm going, can we spend a year in the life of Jesus and try to chronologically move through this? I was thinking about the history of Origins, Rescued, and Courageous.
Okay.
And our people endured. They were like, yeah, mm-hmm. they were hungry for more. And I thought, then as we move into the New Testament, they can do it. They can handle it. But when I started, I didn't know how long it was going to take. So I'm going to back up and say this. When I was first coming into the ministry, I was aware of a church whose pastor spent the first 5 years of his ministry just preaching the gospel of Matthew.
Oh, that's probably the one I was thinking of.
And earlier. I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, you spent your first 5 years at that church was just preaching verse by verse through the gospel of Matthew. And I'm like, how in the world would it take you that long?
Most pastors don't even stay at a church for 5 years.
This is true. but going through the life of Christ, harmonizing, you know, this could easily be a 5-year series. I'm telling you right now, this could so easily be a 5-year journey. His words.
Yeah.
And
I
so
can see that.
Like, so
because you're trying, like, there's so many weekends that you're like, oh, I had to cut this out, and oh, I'm trying to cram so much into a 30 or sometimes 45 minute, you know, message, that if you split it up, you could really expand in more details or expound on more details of stuff.
Well, what I knew for a while, what I've known for a while now, is I want to finish the His Word series in 2025. Mm-hmm. So that gives me only a couple more weeks to wrap it up, and we should be fine. But like this upcoming weekend, here's the struggle. The struggle is real, friends.
All right, let's hear it.
So like this upcoming weekend, I can't preach it adequately. Like, well, let me back up. Because I didn't explain this.
You've been doing a lot of backing up.
Let me back up.
And I'm backing up, backing up, backing up. My daddy taught me good.
That's an old viral video that Kirsten just is singing. And it just, you put that video in my head. That shouldn't have happened. But so we are now in the final week, the Passion Week of mm-hmm. Jesus. So what we've been doing is, each weekend, we're preaching one day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had the triumphal entry.
Right.
That was on Sunday. And then Pastor Reed preached on Monday. The cleansing of the temple on Monday. And then Tuesday, I preached on that, on the where Jesus confronted all the Pharisees. And let me tell you, that could have been a month or two right there on Tuesday, wow. all that Jesus got into.
Yeah.
But I did it in one day. And then there's nothing really happening on Wednesday then of Jesus' final week that we know of scripturally. Okay. We don't have a record of anything really happening that day. So most of the time in theological circles, we call that Wednesday of Jesus' final week, the day he rested.
Yeah.
And we don't know he rested. We just don't have any record. So then Thursday was the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Cody did a really good job last weekend preaching on that. Mm-hmm. So now this weekend we're moving to Friday. And really Friday, the last day of Jesus' life before the cross, Friday starts really kind of Thursday night, bleeds right into Friday, because we go from the Passover meal to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus gets arrested, and we have mm-hmm. this overnight. So we need this final day. We need to get Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way till Golgotha. By Friday morning at 9, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and then he hangs there for 6 hours. So by 3 o'clock, they take him off the cross, and then because he died, and then there's.
But you're not doing all that this weekend.
No, that's what I'm saying. How in the world do you preach all of that in one sermon? So I'm not even going to try.
Right, right.
So this upcoming weekend, I'm going to split Friday up into two weekends. That's what I'm saying. And but really, Friday could be a 4 or 5 part series all by itself, 7 part series.
Yeah.
So this weekend, I'm preaching from the moment that Jesus is arrested in the garden, all the way to basically to the point where he has to carry his cross. So that right there. There is so much right there that I call it, there's 6 phases. There's 6 phases or 6 movements of Jesus from the Garden until he has to carry his cross. And, you know, a lot of folks in the church, I don't think they really understand how much Jesus had to endure between his arrest and actually carrying his cross. Mm-hmm. So that's the time frame that I'm dealing with this weekend. And there is so much there. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time getting that message into a mm-hmm. time frame mm-hmm. that fits our church service. So anyway, might be a little bit long this weekend, but I'm utilizing.
Is that like warning?
Warning. it's going to be.
Are you texting the kids directors right now and letting them know?
The kids volunteer.
Warning.
Better be on notice. No, but these six phases, in fact, I think our church family is going to learn a ton this weekend. I had pictures and archaeological stuff. I mean, I think our people are, they're going to learn a ton this weekend.
So are you preaching the death of Jesus on Christmas?
No. No, it's going to be this weekend.
So he's going to die one weekend and he's going to be born the next.
So just to give you a little, this is under the hood here. All of our under the hood listeners get an inside glimpse of what the next couple weeks are.
That's why they listen.
No, it's.
They're really here for the cat stories.
They're here for the cat stories. This weekend, I'm talking about the six phases leading up to the cross. That means where Jesus goes from the garden, he goes to meet with Annas, he goes to Caiaphas, he meets before the Sanhedrin, then he goes to Pilate, Pilate sends him to Herod, and Herod sends him back to Pilate. Those six phases. Mm-hmm. And then next week, we're going to be dealing with the crucifixion, and that would be the 13th and 14th. And then the final week of the series, which is the 20th and 21st, we're going to be dealing with the resurrection. What's really interesting.
That's really going to be kind of a fun thing to deal with the resurrection, like literally the weekend before Easter. The weekend before Christmas.
The week of Christmas, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But let me tell you something.
Singing Heroes?
I don't know what songs.
When Two Holidays Collide.
This is truly Christmas and Easter, because this is going to feel.
We could have named the series Creaster.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
No, but that week before Christmas, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But I'm going to tie it to the birth of Jesus. I know you're thinking, how in the world do you do that? Please believe me, there is a link mm-hmm. about Jesus coming full circle. Yeah. And I actually think it's going to be quite powerful.
I think it's going to be super awesome.
I think it's going to be pretty powerful.
I think people are going to love it.
Preaching the resurrection of Jesus right into when we typically talk about the birth of Jesus.
Unless they've never been to church before. I mean, like, so Chris, all these kids who are learning what Christmas is about. Is Christmas when Jesus died on the cross? No. Well, that's what Pastor Joe was talking about.
But no, I'll give you a little glimpse into it. He rose from the dead. But the reality is the reason he came is he came to die. Mm-hmm. As we come into the Christmas season, we're going to be reminded that his birth is a lot. I mean, his birth is really about his death.
Oh, yeah.
He was born to die.
Yeah.
That's
why he came.
He was born for the nails. Mm. And had he not been born, like it says in John, he came into this world. The word became flesh and he dwelt among us. I mean, I'm so excited about how this series is going to wrap up mm-hmm. the final, but I believe it's going to blend perfectly with the Christmas season and it's all going to feel like, yeah, he came to die. Yeah. He chose the nails. He came to save us. You know, when you look at the narratives of the Christmas season, you know, Emmanuel, God with us, a savior is born. A lot of these themes that come out at Christmas. Boy, I'd say all of that leads to the cross and resurrection. So these two parts are going to come together quite nicely. Mm-hmm. And we will finish the His Word series. And then...
and then what?
Well, I don't want to tell you just now, but...
Oh, come on.
But I pretty much know everything.
We're under the hood right now.
No. I know everything we're preaching all the way through July. So...
Enlighten us.
No, not yet.
Come on.
Let me tell you, I'm very excited about where the preaching's going in 2026.
People assume I know these things, and I don't. That's why I'm a listener right now with you guys.
You know
what? Well, give us the goods. Tell us.
You know why? You know why I'm hesitant to just put it out there?
Because you might. Because
sometimes you know the Lord sometimes changes our course.
Well, that's fine. You can explain it that way then. If you change your mind.
We'll save it for January. But it's I'm excited.
I tried, people. I tried.
I'm really excited about where the preaching's going next year. And I'm excited about these last couple of sermons in our His Word series. So it's gonna be powerful. You know,
it's gonna be good.
You think about every story has a great stories have a powerful conclusion. Mm-hmm. And there is no more powerful conclusion than what the story of Jesus has. We're talking about the death and resurrection. It absolutely changed the world. Mm-hmm. I wish I had 3 more months just to preach on his death and resurrection, but we got a couple weeks. And
we're looking forward to it.
You know, Kirsten, one of the things that has been a real joy to us is that we've had the opportunity to spend time with some of our Go partners here lately.
Yeah.
And a Go partner, a global Go partner here at our church is somebody that serves on a foreign mission field that we're able to partner with relationally and financially. And like you heard on the podcast recently, we had a 2-part podcast with Matt Rule, and what an encouraging it was for me to listen to him. And then we had Hannah Tynes, and same, listen to this young woman talk about all that God is doing in Zambia and her life. I mean, I hope you guys really enjoyed those interviews that we had on the podcast.
So
next week. Yeah, next week we're going to sit down with Pastor Elisha.
Yeah.
He is in the United States right now. He's another one of our Go partners that works in India. And we're going to get to sit down with him and hear what God is doing in that country, how he is navigating persecution, and I am very familiar with this, and I want him to talk about it when we're together, of just how hard it is to minister in a country where they want to run all the Christians out of their country, mm-hmm. and they want to turn the entire country into converts of Hindu. And if you like Hinduism, it's like, if you don't want to worship any of their gods, get out of our country. That's what's happening in India right now. And I have friends that minister in India, have other missionary friends. And I know, Pastor Elisha is dealing with the same thing. So I'm excited to sit down with him, hear what God is doing. I want to get an update on that. In the upcoming weeks, we're gonna put that podcast out there, and so you can be a part of that as well. And I'm really looking forward to that, Kirsten. I don't know about you, but I am.
Yeah, very much so.
So there's a lot of things happening in the world. That reminds me, whenever I sit and talk to our missionaries, I'm reminded of how good we've got it right here in the United States. And when you think about ministering, I mean, when I stand up to preach the gospel every week, I'm not worried about anybody coming in here and saying, you can't say that anymore.
Right.
Because we have these.
Or arresting you for saying something.
Because we have these religious freedoms. We have the freedom of speech.
Or beating you on the street.
That's right.
Or telling someone about the Lord.
Well, like when Matt Rule was telling us about some of the guys that he has led to Jesus who were former members of Hezbollah. And they had to go and tell like their commanders,
their boss,
I'm no longer part of Hezbollah, and that their life was threatened by that. Like anybody today could say, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, walk away, and no one's gonna. They're not threatening physical violence over that.
No.
I'm blown away when I hear these stories. So I'm excited to have this sit down with Pastor Elisha, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. So that is coming up real soon, and I'd love to know what you guys think about these interviews that we have been doing with our Go partners.
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, not a car show.
I was
trying to find
the plane about as well.
I was trying to find the runway.
I